"Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came to where the man was. He saw him, he took pity on him. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." How are we doing with the projector, Danny?
That's the best I
could. Okay, can we get the PowerPoint slide up, if that's possible? Will it actually open as PowerPoint from my USB if Easy Worship's not working? Yay, that's good. Right, who have we got there? Who have we got? Shout out.
Frodo.
Yeah, who are they?
Hobbits.
Hobbits. What are they? Think back to our first hymn for a clue. Friends. Let's have the next slide. And the next one. Friends, I'll be there for you. I want some words that you would associate with your friends, please. Particularly younger people, if you want to shout out or whisper to somebody to shout out for you. And some older people as well, please. You're going to need to shout for me. Dependable. Dependable friends are excellent, aren't they?
Kind.
Kind. Let's have some more words. Supportive. Sharing. Yes, you spend time together. Caring.
Trusting.
And there was another one. Loving.
Forgiving.
Friends see us as our best as well as our worst, don't they? And, of course, our first hymn says that Jesus is the best friend possible. And if we're going to be good friends, we need to be all of those things as well as expecting them of our friends, don't we? And who was the best friend in the reading that we just had? It was a Samaritan, wasn't it? The most unlikely person of all. And the Samaritan even though he didn't know this chap, was a really good friend to him. So we need to make sure that we're good friends to other people, and we need to do so because Jesus is our best friend and we know that Jesus is with us. So thank you for that. Do we think we can get some choruses up? We're going to sing three choruses as a block. Give thanks with a grateful heart. I love you, Lord, I lift my voice. And Jesus shall take the highest honour. And we'll take the collection in the third one of those, please.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's born. Jesus Christ, my Son.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all the good things that you give to us. We enjoy so many blessings as your children. And we do pray that these offerings may just be a token of that love. And we pray that they may be used wisely in your service, both here and overseas, with especially blessing for the children that we support. And we pray now for our own children as they go out to their classes to continue to worship and learn about you elsewhere in this building. Please bless them with your love and with your presence, and just speak to them through their teachers this morning. May they have a wonderful time in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to spend some time in prayer now. So let's bow our heads. And before we dive into bringing all our needs before the Lord, let's just spend a time of thanksgiving. And I think it would be great if we could just speak out one or two words of just literally very, very, very short phrases that express something about God that will lift us up in praise. I'm going to start us off by saying, thank you, Lord, that you are always with us. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you are a forgiving God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your unconditional love for us.
Amen. So, Lord, we acknowledge that you are amazing. You never give up on us. You know us. You are loving. You are forgiving. And you are powerful. And so much more. Help us to journey on with you and to discover more of you each day, we pray. And as we move into our intercessions, we lift the world before you, Lord. We feel burdened by what we see in the news, but we have already prayed that we've given thanks that you are powerful. You are the Father of nations. And so we lay before you now some impossible situations, praying that your will may be done. We think of Iran and Israel and Palestine. Lord, there just seems to be impossible situations there, and we pray that you will be sovereign and that your will may be done and that you will amaze the world by bringing change. We lift Sudan before you, almost forgotten from the news, but the suffering of the ordinary people goes on. And we lift those affected by the floods in Texas. I was particularly heartbroken seeing that the floods had gone through a girls' camp, a Christian camp. Many of the children were lost. They're not lost to you, Lord. And we pray for those working now to find survivors and to bring help. And we ask that you bring comfort to the grieving. And for those struggling with wildfires and excessive heat in southern Europe. Oh Lord, we just think of our planet and the changing climate. And we confess before you that we have not done what we might have done to play our part in reducing that. But we pray that those in government, those who can make the big decisions, may listen to those campaigning that we need to be responsible stewards of this wonderful world that you have given us. And in our own country, we give thanks for the relative safety and prosperity that we enjoy. But even so, we remember those struggling with unemployment, or with ill health, or with bereavement, or loneliness. Help us to play our part in building a caring society. And we do pray for our government, juggling all the conflicting demands. Give them a strong sense of integrity and justice as they make their choices. We lift our own church family before you, Lord. We pray that you would build us and strengthen us, that we would be a loving fellowship. But Lord, now for individuals needing a special touch of your love, perhaps in a few silent moments we can silently name them before you, Lord, knowing that you know their needs so much better than we do. And we give thanks for Alistair's ministry amongst us over many years, and we pray God's richest blessing on him and Eunice and Susie as they go through a house move and Alistair moves towards retirement. And Lord, we pray that you would really bless them in their next chapter of life, and that this church will be built up in grace and energy as we continue to serve you and we seek to reflect your light in our community. So build us up, Lord, refresh us, and equip us for this next chapter, we ask. And we bring all our prayers before you in and through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Before Jenny comes to speak to us, we're going to sing Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Make me a channel of your peace.
Just pray for Jenny now. Heavenly Father, we pray that the words that you have laid on Jenny's heart may be applied by your Spirit to us. Open us to receive, to be challenged, and to really hear your word speaking into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. It is always a joy to come Sunday by Sunday and to meet with each other and just to be in fellowship one with the other. It is so encouraging. We can perhaps come at the end of a week and feel, oh. But when we come here, we are lifted and we are refreshed and we are sent out. And I hope that the words I share with you this morning from a very well-known passage in Scripture will have a new zing to them, and that something in what I say will touch your heart, perhaps just one point, that will say, yes, Lord, that will make a difference. And so we come and we consider together the parable of the Good Samaritan. We read the parables of Jesus, lovely stories. That was really interesting. That was good. Yeah, I agree. But do we go into it and think how it affected the people of his age? And we have to lift how it affected the people of his age and lift it into the present age. For the scripture is a living word. It continues on down through the centuries and to us in the very present time. Jesus was speaking to the people and a man came up to him and he was an expert in the law. He knew that he was a legalistic man. And he came up to Jesus and he said, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, What is written in the law, in the Old Testament? He replied, How do you read it? And he said this, You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus looked at him and said, Yes, you have answered rightly. But when we say we love God, do we ever consider how deep that love goes? And I think until we really enter into the depth of his love, we cannot fully understand the wonder of that love. First of all, he said that you must love God with all your heart. The first thing the Holy Spirit does when he challenges us to come to Christ is to touch our hearts, and our hearts change our minds, or our minds change our hearts. It's a two-way stretch, isn't it? And the lovely thing is that when we love God with all our heart, he is everything to us. And with all your soul, your very inner being, your whole, you know who you truly are. You might put a jolly good face on the front in public, but my friends, you know our weaknesses, you know our lack of abilities, and yet God loves us, and in turn, we must continue to love him with all that we are, and with all the strength that we have, and with all our mind, that we consider all that God has done for us, and we give thanks. And then you must love your neighbor as yourself. And that's meaning you do not want harm to come to yourself. You want people to be pleasant to yourself. You want life to be good. And you want to need the same for all people. And Jesus looked to him and said, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." If you have a heart that's fully towards God, you will truly live. But this man wanted to get right down to the point. He was a legalistic chap. And he said, "Who is my neighbor then? Tell me that. Who is my neighbor?" So often we feel that neighbors are those who are close to us in distance. But you know, our neighbors are worldwide. And that is hard for the human mind sometimes to grasp. And so Jesus told this wonderful story. And it says that a man was going down to Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell in the hands of robbers. They stripped off his clothes, they humiliated him, they beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. Now, this was a lonely road. This man was left in a ditch in a dreadful state. And how must he have felt? He was semi-conscious, probably, and was coming and going in and out of time, not knowing what was going to happen. But then, how good was this? A priest came along. A man of God came along. A man who went and taught others in Jerusalem about the love of God for man and their responsibility towards God and their need to do this, to do that, and to do the other. And they really laid it down thick. But also, a priest is one who loves God, surely. And surely, if he loved God, he had a concern for people. And he saw this man, and he walked on. When I first read this story as a child, do you know, my heart bent down? How could a minister of God's love walk past someone in such a state? Was the priest going to Jerusalem to go to the temple? And if he went to the temple and had touched a man who had blood on him, his hands would have been legally unclean. He would not have been able to serve in the temple. It would have stopped him doing his religious duty. Oh, my friend, beware of religion. Keep your hearts filled with faith in God. We need a religion to understand what we believe, but it is deeper than the subject. It is deeper and more relevant that we have faith rather than just religion. I often think what a hurry we can be to get to church on a Sunday. How many of you had to really put your skates on to get here in time? And strange enough, it's those that live next door that are always the last in. And, you know, you're in such a rush on a Sunday morning. And then as you're all ready, you've got your all dressed proper and you're ready to go, your mind set on worship, and all of a sudden next door you hear an awful clatter. Bum, 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 bum. So what do you do? Oh, I can't stop now. I'll be late for church. And that was like the priest. He was so busy going to do the outward thing, he wasn't listening to his heart and doing what he should have done, attended to this man. No, if you hear a clatter next door and you hear someone crying out, church becomes second. The need of that person is the first priority that we should do. So the priest went by. But then a little hope was still glimmering. A Levite came, like a curate in our modern day, a man who was training, possibly, to be a priest eventually. a man who again claimed to have a heart that was centered towards God. He at least went and looked at the man. But you know, he looked at the man and left him in his distress. That I find hard to understand. But here Jesus was really saying, beware. Don't let your outward show of faith or religion be what people judge you by. No, may it be the inner truth of your love of God and the outworking of that love to others. May that be what they see. May that be the real truth. And then blow me down. As he has this man who almost gave up, a third person came. A person from Samaria, a Samaritan. It is hard for us in the 21st century to understand the hatred that the Jews had for the Samaritans. In 721 BC, when there was the Samaritans were overrun and the foreigners came in, and the Samaritan people married out of the Israelite tribes, and their blood was mixed, and they were no longer purely understood to be Jewish. And the Jews hated the Samaritans for spoiling the chosen people's completely clear bloodline. And it was a hatred that from that time, right up to the time of Jesus' preaching, nearly 1,000 years, that the hatred continued to boil and boil and boil. And so when this Samaritan came, the chap on the floor thought his lot had come. That was it. But what do you know? The Samaritan didn't see a Jew on the floor. He saw a man on the floor. And he bent down and he bathed him with oil and with wine. This was the first cost to this Samaritan. His very first cost was he had to have humility, he had to have compassion, he had to have love for this stranger in his need. And the beautiful thing is that the Samaritan laid aside the hatreds and just saw the man. And he bathed him, and it cost him wine and oil, very expensive things. But he laid out these luxuries, in a sense, upon this dirty, bleeding, helpless person. And then he picked him up, or helped him up, and got him on his donkey. How many of you here have got a car? Jolly good. And if you haven't got a car, people who have a car who give people lifts. Jolly good. Good to see. A car is such a precious thing, I know. And but you know, it can be kept very pristine, can't it? This man put him on his only form of transport, a donkey. And a donkey he'd probably been riding himself, so he had to give way and give the time, the ability for this man to move forward as he couldn't walk. And the man who gave him that time had to walk beside him. It's like us, are we willing to put an injured person bleeding and in a mess in the back of our car to get them to hospital pronto? Or are we thinking, oh my goodness me, no, you know, he might leave a mess. Leave a mess, we'll sort a mess out later. But this man, he was wonderfully kind. He put him on his donkey and he led him to a place where at last he could rest and be at peace. Now, this man was probably a market man. Probably he was a tradesman who went from Samaria to Jerusalem, perhaps, or to Jericho, as he was on the way this time. And when he had his business, he delayed himself and went into this side place with this man and made sure that he was comfortable, put him in a bed, bathed him, made sure he was kept clean and tidy and comfortable. And then he took out 2 silver coins and gave it to the landlord of that particular place. And he said to the innkeeper, here is 2 coins. Now, you look after him for me, and if there's any more money I owe on my way back when I'm returning to Samaria, I will give you what is owed. There was a wonderful bond of trust. Wasn't that wonderful? But this stranger was willing to expend money on the Samaritan was willing to spend money on this stranger. It cost him over and over again to care. But did the Samaritan seem to mind, perhaps? No, I think he was pleased that he could do it. My friends, we have so much. None of us here might be fantastically rich, but we have so much, and we can give from what we have and not count the cost, because the strange thing is, as you give, so you are blessed. You bless another, and the blessing returns. There's that wonderful sense that you are doing what Christ would do. He's teaching us in this story to have the mind of God, which is beyond all our human dislikes and hatreds and fears of people. We're living in a very violent world at the moment. And my heart goes out to the countries that are at war. The innocent people that are being killed, maimed, their property completely destroyed, hunger. And I pray again and again, Lord, O Lord, why cannot mankind have compassion first upon each other rather than war to make their, whatever they're needing or wanting to be right? So Jesus turned and he looked at the people and said, which of these three people, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, do you think was the good neighbor to the man? And the man, the legalistic lawyer replied, the Samaritan was the one who had mercy on him. He was the most unexpected one to be of help. Jesus was saying to the people of his age, cease your hatred of one another. Cease your disliking of people. Today, or this weekend, has been Pride Weekend. And my heart was very sad at the publicity and the rumpus of Pride as they marched, particularly through London. I do not like acts of homosexuality in any form, but this is a personal dislike. But it is scriptural. It is not right under the eyes of God. Yes, by all means, dislike what people do, but don't cease to love them. We have to love beyond the liking of people and really pray that the Lord will open the eyes of such people to see the beauty of how God created us and the purpose for which God created us, and restore God-like thought and behavior in the lives of people of all sorts. Jesus, he did not send his disciples to speak to the Samaritans at first. And I often wondered why. Did he, as a Jew, still have a disrespect and a niggly dislike of the Samaritans? But I believe it was because the disciples were not ready to be able to love them like Jesus did. He needed to be with them. We need to spend time with Christ in prayer, in thought, in just being. It was lovely this morning when we started this service just with a moment or two of silence. Silence is very difficult, but when we spend time in silence before God, he fills it with his peace, his purpose, and he touches our minds and our hearts, again, refreshes us to be able to meet the demands of the day and the demands of people. So please, As we have read this story together and we have thought on one or two aspects of it, it's a very wonderful story. I hope that we too can be those who will have compassion, humility, and the ability to love beyond perhaps the liking of that person. In our churches today, we should be a place where anyone can come and know that they will be received, whoever they are, whatever they are, whatever they've done. It matters not to us, but it matters to God, and we are here to show his love, as did the Samaritan to the wounded man. May each one of us this week, as you go about your daily living, may you have the joy of coming alongside someone who is hurting and heal that hurt and give them hope through your loving Christ. Amen. We're going to sing a very lovely hymn now, a very challenging hymn, one that will send you out. Go forth and tell, O Church of God, arise. May I have the first verse up, please, if possible? Oh, I guess. Go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake. God's saving news to all the nations take. Proclaim Christ Jesus, Saviour, Lord, and King, that all the world his worthy praise may sing. Isn't that beautiful? So God loves all people, whatever their circumstance. May we in turn learn to love them as he would too. Alistair to come and give the blessing. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us for always. Amen.
Amen.